Thank you for traveling with Amex Platinum. To your right, you'll see Oceanside Relaxation at a fine hotel and resort property. When booked through Amex Travel, you can enjoy complimentary breakfast for 2 and 4 p.m. late checkout. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Hey, parents. Looking for something fun to listen to in the car with your kids? Blippi and Mika have a brand new podcast, Blippi and Mika's Road Trip. Each week, the Blippi Mobile will take your kids to amazing places. Your kids will learn awesome new things about the places and things they see and hear. It's a fun, interactive listening experience for the whole family. Listen to Blippi and Mika's Road Trip on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let us start where we left off, because we do have some news where Woj is now reporting, Adrian Wojnarowski, that what was already a lot of doubt about whether Giannis could play in game one of this series against the Pacers for the Bucks, now it is official. Giannis is out of game one of this series for the Bucks against the Pacers, which begins on Friday. The Pacers are now, and I see it moving before our very eyes, the Pacers were a one-point favorite when it first happened off air. Now they're a one-and-a-half-point favorite in game one of this series.
Yeah, good old-fashioned price discovery. But I mean, this is late to the party. I don't know who honestly thought Giannis was going to – I mean, I guess I shouldn't say that. Like, Giannis is surprised. Right. Like there is the, you know, that title run, he had a hyperextended knee bone bruise thing at one point, and I remember being like, well, that's it for him. And he comes back two games later and was unbelievable. So he does have some kind of ability to play through, difficult injuries. I'm glad for his, future and potential entertainment value of these playoffs that he is sitting out this game, because, when the injury first happened, it was like, oh, my gosh. Kevin Durant all over again. You got a guy that's been carrying the offensive load for a Bucks team for so much of the season, and it's wears him down to the point where you have this non-contact calf thing, and it's like, man, that's the sign. Like, that happens the next time you push through this, you don't let it heal correctly, and it becomes an Achilles. And I don't want that to happen. I would much rather see a healthy and kind of effective Giannis at least give the Celtics some sort of challenge in this Eastern Conference playoffs. But right now, I think it's pretty clear that, bets to be made were on the Pacers for the series, on the Pacers for game one, in the hopes that they can, at a minimum, take home court advantage away from the Bucks in the absence of Giannis. And I think that's a realistic expectation. This Pacers team is kind of given a little bit of a short shrift in the market. And, I think that this is common when you have a young team that hasn't played together in the playoffs and people just haven't seen it with their eyes. They don't realize that, that there are some pretty dynamic aspects to the offense in particular. And if you have a player like Tyrese Haliburton, who, people may be, I think, wildly underrating his potential effect on this series in particular, I think is kind of the key factor here. And why, this isn't even really a very complicated handicap. Tyrese Haliburton started the season as one of the top five players in the NBA, period. Like, he was clearly taking a huge step forward in the months of October, November, December. He took the Pacers to the, the in-season tournament finals. And he was, he was specifically engineering offense. And like, you could think back to, the semifinal game of the play-in of the in-season tournament, where they completely took apart the Bucks defense, and you say, okay, well, like, is that guy, is he still around? And yes, the answer is yes. He got hurt. He had a hamstring injury that caused him to miss a couple of weeks in the month of January, really threw some cold water on his season. He played through the injury as opposed to just resting so that he could be eligible for all NBA and awards. And because of that, like, his data when he's playing through that injury was miserable. And it makes people kind of a little bit underestimate what his impact could be, particularly in this series. The Bucks have clear, in my opinion, structural issues with their defense and their point of attack defense in particular. Haliburton is going to take advantage of that early and often in this series. And until and if Giannis comes back, I think the Pacers have a pretty clear advantage just heads up here as currently rostered. And so, happy to see the Pacers flip to favorites in this game one. I think they can win game one, and I think Giannis is unlikely to play game two. So they will probably open as favorites in game two. And if you, if they can, realize their potential and win those two games and take this thing 2-0 back to Indiana. Jeez. I don't know what, Giannis is going to be able to do to save this thing. I think
Series price is down everywhere, right? Like, it shouldn't be up anywhere, I would imagine. The series price at this point, I'm seeing it taken down.
I would think so. Game numbers move, and I'm interested to see. Yeah. I mean, Drew, what did this open at? Bucks like minus 250, something like that, 260? I mean, what is this going to get down to before game one starts?
I mean, probably, realistically, minus 140, maybe. I'm guessing, but people are probably digging in right now and really trying hard to figure out, like, at what point do we expect Giannis back? My guess, uninformed, you'll see him in game three. But they may be at an 0-2 disadvantage at that point. And if that's the case, then, you know, your series price, why bet the Bucks now? like really, why bet the Bucks now, period, is kind of the real question. Yeah. Like, is there going to be resistance, right? Like, you need to, if you're doing some old fashioned price discovery, which we'll get into with the draft prices in a minute, I'm assuming, I don't really know where you're finding resistance for a Bucks series price right now, except for the people who went swinging hard on Pacers out of the gate.
All right, Drew, you're going to have to stay for another segment. Yes, we can't fit it all in. Can you do that? Is that possible?
Sure.
All right. Let's go to the West. All right. Phoenix and Minnesota. When you and I were talking about, and Kelly, we were all talking about, like, what's the series you can't wait for in the playoffs from a price standpoint. Here we have a series where the T-Wolves are a 2-point favorite in game one on Wednesday night. Tomorrow night, but they are a series dog. We have one of these situations. How do you view the whole thing?
Yeah, interesting. Another interesting kind of rematch, right? We saw these teams play Sunday, and the Suns took apart the T-Wolves. And then you're like, well, I mean, yeah, that's, T-Wolves weren't playing for much. You look back in the series, and yes, the Suns took apart the T-Wolves all three times they played them. That's not a good sign if you're a Timberwolves faithful. And I think ultimately the key for the Timberwolves is almost certainly they're going to have to come up with some wrinkles and changes to their defensive strategy to stop the Suns early in the series to protect home court. And then if they can take advantage of some of the Suns' issues defensively, particularly in game three or four, then the Timberwolves could end this thing in five. I think it's important for them to try to do that, because the longer that this series goes, the more likely it is that you're really kind of playing with fire and that you're giving, KD and the Suns an opportunity to turn this into ISO ball type of, end of game is close. And in those situations, the Suns have a pretty clear advantage. And so if this gets to game six, I'm feeling very, very unfavorable as I'm holding if I would be holding a Timberwolves ticket. If we get to game seven, then you're in real, real deep trouble, because the Timberwolves, they have some clunky offensive tendencies at times, and they're really counting on Anthony Edwards, who took a huge step forward this season, to kind of be the guy, the kind of guy that carries them in a playoff series. And that's possible offensively, particularly against the Suns team that doesn't defend especially well. And I think, the two kind of bimodal outcomes here are the Timberwolves defend home court, get one in Phoenix, and then end this thing early, or this series goes long, and in that case, it's advantage Suns. The fact that the Suns are small favorites is surprising to me, because I think fundamentally, I think the game one price is correct, and maybe even a little bit low on Minnesota. So if Minnesota defends home court here, particularly in game one, you're going to get a much, much cleaner crack at a Suns series price if that's what you're into. And honestly, I would say game two probably decides this thing one way or the other. If the Suns win that game, then, it's on. And if Minnesota wins, then there's still a path for them to get this thing done early. So I don't think I'm ultimately going to take much action in this series either way. But I think ultimately I'm betting Timberwolves out of the gate here. They need to come up with ways to defend the intermediate zone, the long two. The Timberwolves give up those. That's like kind of the one hole in their defense, and that's the one strength of the Suns. But I think that's fixable. And I think just in general, Timberwolves are being a little bit underappreciated by market in this first game.
It's the same story in the 4-5, right? The Clippers with home court, 1.5-point favorites in game one, but a series dog to the Mavericks. Exact same situation.
Exact same situation with one huge caveat. The best player for the Clippers might not be 100%. He might not be good to go. I really do not love any of the kind of messaging that the Clippers are doing about the health and status of of Mr. Kawhi Leonard. And if you look back at when were the Clippers their best this year, Kawhi Leonard was playing at an MVP level. He was a huge, huge reason why. And if this all of a sudden turns into the Harden and Paul George show against Luka, best of luck to the Clippers. I think ultimately the Mavericks are constructed as sort of the ideal playoff roster right now. I have huge positions on the Mavericks in this series, which kind of are in one way getting me off of, you know, Western Conference and outright futures that I put on the Clippers in January when they were the best team in basketball. But yeah, the Mavericks look like the clearly better team, particularly if Kawhi is limited.
Hey, parents. Looking for something fun to listen to in the car with your kids? Blippi and Mika have a brand new podcast, Blippi and Mika's Road Trip. Each week, the Blippi Mobile will take your kids to amazing places. Your kids will learn awesome new things about the places and things they see and hear. It's a fun, interactive listening experience for the whole family. Listen to Blippi and Mika's Road Trip on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.